preached our passage from Nehemiah 8, which was all about the people coming back to the Word of God. And my challenge to you was to go back to Scripture, kind of hungry again, passionate to find out what God wanted to speak to you about through His Word. And I told you that really it was God talking to me and saying to me, go back to your past hunger of my Word. Do you know what's happened? That was what God was saying to me. And I've been fairly good. Okay. I did say I've got a new app on my phone. It's called the Olive Tree. And at the moment, I'm sure eventually I'll move on to something else. But for the moment, I'm really enjoying it because you can say, I'd like 7 days on this theme or 30 days on this theme. And as you press a button, you have scripture come up from all different places. So it's kind of a looky dipper. I'm not enjoying that at the moment. There isn't any commentary, there isn't anything else. So, you know, it's not the only thing that's valuable, but I'm quite enjoying it. So if you haven't got anything you're using, particularly at the moment, try Olive Tree. And that was about the Word of God. Now, as soon as I preached that service, probably the very afternoon or definitely the next day, I felt I knew what I should preach on next here at Hindley Road, because a little phrase came to my mind. And it was a phrase from a guy called John Wimber. And some of you might have heard John Wimber. He's no longer alive. He was kind of the developer of the Vineyard kind of churches. And he said this at one point. I'd heard this said in a sermon somewhere, and it struck a chord, and I've remembered it. It says, "The Word alone, you dry up. The Spirit alone, you blow up. The Word and the Spirit together, you grow up." In other words, it's basically saying if you try and go just to the Scriptures, sometimes you can find them dry. Sometimes it can be hard to find inspiration from them. But if you go to the Scriptures with God's Holy Spirit guiding and directing and inspiring, that is power. That's when the Word of God will really come alive and change your life and the lives of those around you. And apparently, I didn't know this until I was doing a bit of research this week, but apparently quite early on in John Wimber's ministry, he felt God said to him, "I've seen your ministry, now would you like to see mine?" In other words, a bit like Wesley, Wimber had been trying to do it, maybe in his own strength, without the directing power of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came upon him and he took God upon his offer, he started to see amazing things. It's probably about 2,500 vineyard churches at this point, and you know, lives have been changed, people have come to salvation through the work that he began, and he saw it himself, people worshipping with simple songs. Coming to God, but it was because it was God directed, not John Wimber directed. And so the Spirit is powerfully given and needed. And the passage that I'm going to read to you this morning to start with is only 2 verses long. It's found in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. It may come up on the screen, John 7. 37 to 39. This is what it says. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So Jesus said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." But I'm going to go through a little bit of background to this passage. It was said at a great time of celebration for the Jewish people. They got together to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. But at this point, there was a lot of controversy about Jesus' teaching. people were plotting to kill him, people were asking questions. It was quite kind of a difficult situation. And so Jesus didn't go to this festival until it was about halfway through. And he starts teaching, he starts explaining, and again there's controversy. And then, in that situation, in this Feast of Tabernacles, he said those words about, come to him, those who are thirsty. The Feast of Tabernacles was a Jewish celebration, and is a Jewish celebration, where the Jewish people celebrate God's provision when they were wandering in the desert for 40 years. It's sometimes called the Festival of Booths or Sukkoth as well. And again, I didn't know this until this week, but as part of that festival at that time, in that temple, the people, one of the priests, would go to the pool of Siloam and then draw up some water and then take it to the altar, and they would pour the water on the altar. And the reason they did that was a kind of religious observation to recognize God's blessing upon them. God had been with them in the desert. He provided sustenance. And then as they were settled back in their land, there had been a harvest which they could thank God for. The rains had come, the water had come, so they thanked God for that provision. And they also prayed for that same rain and that same provision going forward in time. So this water in this Feast of Tabernacles was key and important. And into that situation, into that festival, Jesus stands up and says, I am the giver of water. I am the one who can satisfy your thirst. It's quite kind of profound, isn't it? It's not just getting the physical water. Jesus saying that is coming from him. And what's also quite special about this passage is that it relates back to a prophecy that was given in Isaiah 55. And again, this might come on the screen as well. Because in Isaiah 55 it says, come, all you are thirsty, come to the waters, you who have no money. Buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Through God and through the prophet Isaiah, it was basically saying, come and ask for this living water. It doesn't cost you anything. It cost God his son. It cost a lot to provide it. But God is saying it's freely available, there's no VIP tickets. It's available for anybody who has need. Paul said about this in Corinthians, about this seal of the Spirit. He's anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us. He's put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And I'm also going to read to you this morning from John 14, where Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to those who believe in him. And in the farewell discourse, he says, if you love me, keep my commands. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The word cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. God promises us the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, it brings the fruit of the Spirit, which we tried to look at this morning in a bit of a disastrous way. But it also brings gifts and brings so many good things into our lives. And it's on offer to all of us who are thirsty. If you want to look at dramatic outpourings of the Holy Spirit, go to the book of Acts. And Acts just feels like a roller coaster ride of one miracle after another, healing after another, prophecy after another. It's a roller coaster ride. And I don't think that those acts of God have finished there. And I'm going to tell you a story. And it's not a story about someone I know. It's a story I heard given by Pete Hughes, who runs a church called KXC in London. And to me, this is an amazing story. Let me tell you this story. There's a girl called Rhianne. She's in her 20s or 30s, quite a young girl. And unfortunately, she had bone cancer. She had cancer at the bottom of her spine. And the church that she was part of was praying for this girl called Rhianne. And she was going through a normal life, but she was finding things at times difficult. But on one particular night, she had a dream. And she had a dream that she got to go into a bookshop. The Wesley Owen bookshop was very specific. She got to buy the Bible. She got to write in the front of this Bible, James B. She got to wrap up the Bible as a present, and she got to put this Bible at the bottom of her handbag. Anyway, I guess if you had a dream like that, if I had a dream like that, you might not necessarily do it, actually. I mean, you're like, is it real, is it not? And so she rang up the pastor, and she was like, should I do this? It's a bit bizarre, but if the dream really fell when she woke up, it wasn't just like a, you know, something that happens in the night, it was really kind of weird. So her pastor said to her, well, it could just be that you dreamt that, but it could be from God. So why not go with it? Okay. So she goes off to Wesley Owen bookshop. She buys a Bible. She writes in the front of this Bible, James B. She wraps it up in a bag. She puts it in a bag. Off she goes and carries on with life. 2 or 3 weeks later, she has to go back to the hospital for next lot of scans and tests and meetings with oncologists, etc. And this particular meeting was a really important one. It was like a kind of a key step in the treatment that she was receiving. And so it wasn't just with her doctor, Dr. Stratham, it was with an expert doctor as well, an expert oncologist called Dr. Bradshaw. She was there for quite a few hours. And after a few hours, they called her in. There was this room with her and these two doctors. And they were like, we've had to run the test twice because we can't quite understand what's going on. There is no sign of any cancer in your body. None of the scans show it. None of the tests show it. We don't understand. Anyway, as you can imagine, Rhianne at that point gets very excited, gets very happy, praises God and says, well, I can tell you why you've seen no sign. I can tell you what's happened. My church has been praying that this will be the case. And I believe, as a Christian, God has healed me. Now, in that hospital room, can you imagine? Her normal doctor, Dr. Stratton, at that point says, oh, Rhianne, I didn't know you were a Christian. I'm a Christian as well. That's absolutely amazing. And it's a bit like they have their own little worship time in this hospital room. And then Dr. Bradshaw says, I'm not a Christian. In fact, I'm quite cynical. But he said, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, the same thing happened. And somebody at that point again said that it was the work of God. So I went home that night and I said to God, who I don't believe in, I said, if it happens again, God, you've got my attention. At that point, Rhianne twigs. She reaches into the bag, but before she does, she says, Dr. Bradshaw, what's your first name? And he said, I'm named James Bradshaw, James B. And she hands over the package. Well, can you imagine that? Can you? I'm going to ask you, because all of us come to church this morning with different experiences, and different things going on in our lives, some difficult, some joyful. As you hear that story, What is your response? How does it make you feel? Because, if I'm honest with you, I've got two responses, okay? So you may have even more, but I have two responses. My one response is like this. Praise God, isn't that amazing? We read, don't we, about God of miraculous, God of all powers or authorities. We pray that today. We have a powerful, mighty God. And I'm like, wow, isn't that amazing? Isn't that fabulous? You can't say that's coincidence, can you, about the Bible? I mean, that's truly unbelievable. And then my other response is, but why can't I say that? why does that not happen all the time around me? Why don't I see all of those dramatic events? Because I really would love to. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to see? Wouldn't you like to come here with stories? And as I was thinking about that, I've written this down. I don't think my desires and my prayers to see more of God are wrong. I don't think that's the case. I think God is happy for us to sing songs like earlier, stir your church, revive us again. But I also think that God wants to say to me, and maybe to you too, do be aware that God is working in the small things as well as the large things. I've put down here that the greatest miracle that there is that of salvation. And we hear, don't we, at the moment, of people coming to faith. We know people who have come to faith. That's the greatest miracle of all. And we see it. Basically, someone's accepted God into their lives, which means for eternity, they have the promise of the presence of God, hope forever. Not just heal of cancer for a few years and they're going to die anyway. Forever, they are going to be in the presence of God when they accept Him into their lives. That's the greatest miracle. That's the first thing I felt God is saying to me. And then the other thing I kind of feel He's saying is, how can I look back on my life and not say that God has been at work? There's amazing things that have happened. You can't call them really coincidences. I still, the one I've gone on about, and I'm sure you get bored of my stories, is the fact that I decided, for lots of different reasons, to take a year off work. And that just happened to be the year that my dad got really ill. He was ill for 6 years, but that was the year he got so ill that then he died. And to have that time with my dad was absolutely amazing. And then, the day he died, I should have been at a job interview that then took place the week after. I didn't really have to even apply for that job. It was kind of offered to me. We were working with a boss who I think the world of. Do you really think all of those things just drop in? Don't you think God, Gemma, is at work? Don't you think as you look back at all the things that have happened, you can see in your own lives the work of God, sometimes in the small. And to be honest with you, we probably don't want some of those amazing testimonies because they require absolute pain and suffering in the first place, don't they? You know, Leanne was healed, but she had cancer to begin with, which isn't easy. So I kind of feel that God wants to say to us, it's not wrong to ask to see amazing things. Have that desire, but don't forget that He's also in every step of your life along. And then, before I move on, I have to say that this morning, I've already been told of people who are experiencing amazing things of God. Two particular stories have already been told to me this morning of things that happened. I'm only going to tell you half of one, and Karen will have to excuse if I get it wrong. But Karen's been doing quite a lot of work at Ellos at the moment. You don't mind me saying a little bit, do you, Karen? And one lunchtime this week, they used one of the teachers' offices so that one lad could pray that a girl came to faith. So basically, the salvation, someone coming to faith, even at a lunchtime, in Ellos this week, in someone's office. And how it came about and all of the connections, talk to Karen later. It's quite amazing, things that are going on. God is at work. But He still allows us to say to Him and to hear His voice saying, If you are thirsty, come to me and drink. Our God is a God of provision. He's a God of spiritual blessing. I'm going to maybe kind of show something disappointing now, because I think it's my brain heart. But Craig, can I see the pictures of my garden? And here we go. I've shown you these pictures before, they're not new. Okay, is it going to come up? I'm jumping around, poor Craig, to do his best to try to keep up with me. Here we go. Now, this is a nice picture. This is a picture, it looks like spring-like, doesn't it? And I've got a big magnolia tree, I've got an acer in front of it, and my sister-in-law said I should cut these trees down because they block the view, but they are beautiful, beautiful trees. Next slide will show me more beauty and loveliness. There you go, that's a nice picture, isn't it? That's the view from my garden, I'm very blessed. Next picture. Okay, now it doesn't do it justice, but can you see that dark tree at the front? It's an acer and it's beautiful red. It is the loveliest tree you can imagine. And behind it, there's a magnolia. I didn't plant these, which is why I can take credit. They were there when I bought the house many years ago. They are beautiful, beautiful trees. And if you go on to the next slide, Craig, you might remember in March, I asked you to try and spot what was wrong with that tree at the front. And some of you who'd got good eyesight could see that there were some branches that didn't have leaves on. Do you remember? Can you see those branches? And I did a bit of research. And I found I have got fungus root rot. I've got fungus growing in the roots of the tree, meaning it can't draw up water. Well, I've had a few technical difficulties, but I think I would have been too sad anyway to take a photo at the moment and bring it to show you. Because I thought that if I chopped out some of the branches, I could save the tree. No. My tree is totally dead. All the leaves fell off it around May, June time. It's just some twigs. I haven't yet had the kind of courage to chop it down because it will really make me upset. It's so beautiful. I know it's just a tree, but it is really, really beautiful. The thing is, the fungus, and if I want to be scientific just for a moment, bear with me, the fungus will have got to the xylem, the vessel that draws water up to the roots to go into the leaves, and it needs that water in the leaves to do photosynthesis, a life-giving process. It can't happen anymore because the roots this fungus, it can't draw up water. I'm sure you know where I'm going with this story. We need rivers of God's Holy Spirit, rivers of living water, to flow into our lives, to give us life, to allow us to bear fruit, to allow us to take God into the world where we go. I hope that we don't ever turn into him, and I pray that I don't have parts of my life like that tree. And if that's the case, I need to make sure that I kind of don't block the Spirit's action. And it's quite funny that I'm preaching here this week because the last few days, I haven't had a good few days at work this week, pretty bad few days at work. And I could tell you of examples of when I have shown, I've written it down here, judgmentalism, cynicism, anger, and stress. I think I could sum up those this week. I mean, they don't really appear on my heart at the front, but, you know, but that will block the work of God in my life, won't it? It won't let streams of living water flow from me to others if I'm caught up in that kind of frustration and anger and all of that. And so God has to say back to me, Jenna, come back thirsty. Come back wanting more of my spirit. You're going to have to ask for forgiveness for some of these things that you've got wrong. And I will allow my spirit then to flow through you, out of you, and things, amazing things, can happen. I haven't got much more to share with you this morning, just two proper things really. The first one, when you become a Christian, when you accept that God is your saviour and you accept that the cross was for you, You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And some people think that at that point there is a second blessing. That the first type kind of blessing is the accepting God into your life, becoming a Christian, and then you can pray and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And that is the case, that some people have had amazing experiences by being prayed for the Holy Spirit. But someone who was quite wise said, I believe in the second blessing. It comes after the first blessing, before the third blessing, before the fourth blessing, before the fifth blessing. In other words, we have to, don't we, keep going back to God for more of his presence, for more of his Spirit, whether it's for the first time, whether it's for the 54th time. God wants to fill us again and again with his Holy Spirit. All who are thirsty are welcome. It says in Psalm 63, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Some of us come here this morning thirsty for more of God. We simply need to ask and receive his presence. And maybe we can think that through as we sing the